I'd like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Denise Fort. She's a research professor at the University of New Mexico Law School, and Nellis Kennedy Howard, who's a senior campaign representative for the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. The two of them, along with some others as well, will be speaking on Tuesday night of next week, the 14th of April, in a conversation called How Do We Increase Renewable Energy Use in New Mexico? That's at the Santa Fe Community Foundation. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Nice to be here.
Thank you for having us.
So, how do we increase renewable energy use in New Mexico? It seems like the very fact that we have to ask that question in such a big, huge, sunny state means there's something in the way.
Absolutely. I think that the quickest way to start incorporating more renewables into the grid here in New Mexico is to stop throwing more and more money at an aging coal plant. So I'm speaking specifically about San Juan Generating Station, which is about a 40-year-old coal plant located in Farmington, New Mexico. And PNM, the utility for Albuquerque, well, for much of New Mexico, actually, is the primary operator and owner of the plant right now. And they're looking to put millions and millions of dollars into a plan that will continue operations at the plant, continue burning coal for who knows how long.
Now, what are the alternatives and why don't they want to use them?
You know, that's a really good question. It doesn't make sense to anyone, really, that I've spoken to. PNM will say that their plan is best in terms of cost effectiveness, reliability, and benefits to customers, but nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, honestly, their plan is unreliable, dangerous, and costly. So, for instance, the coal plant, PNM doesn't know who will own the coal plant after 2022. That seems like something that they ought to know before they go throwing millions of ratepayer dollars at the plant.
Don't they own it?
They own part of it. They don't know who will actually own it. So the current ownership agreement expires in 2022. So there are other utilities that own parts of the plant. And that expires in 2022, and they don't know who will own it after 2022.
We did an interview not too long ago with New Energy Economy that basically made the case that there's all these, this power plant is owned in shares, and nobody wants those shares because everybody's trying to get out of coal.
The writing is on the wall for coal. The cost of coal continues to skyrocket. Meanwhile, the cost of wind and solar continues to plummet, and PNM is just not reading the writing on the wall. And instead, they're gambling ratepayer money by saying that they want to put forward a plan that would keep the two of the four coal-burning stacks at San Juan Generating Station burning into the future. A plan which, by the way, when they, you know, the costs of that plan have gone up by over $1 billion in the last year. Much of that actually due to calculation errors made by PNM.
Good heavens.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about $1 billion distributed over a state with a very low population, that's a lot of money because guess who always ends up paying is the ratepayers.
Absolutely. And with New Mexico having the second highest poverty rate in the country, New Mexicans can't afford PNM's bad energy choices. And so PNM ought to take this opportunity, you know, looking at the 2022 date and saying, you know, we don't know who the owners are going to be after 2022, and actually start creating a plan that will get them off of coal.
Now, let's talk about the reliability question. I mean, there is the fact that the sun only shines during the day and the wind only blows when it feels like blowing. So how do we get 24/7, 365 and a quarter energy?
Yeah, you know, utilities everywhere are starting to install more and more wind and solar just because it's cost competitive. Xcel Energy in Colorado, our neighbors to the north, you know, they are actually going above and beyond what they have to do in terms of wind and solar just because it's cost competitive. They said it's more cost competitive than natural gas. The technology exists, it's just that PNM is unwilling. The reliability question, you know, it really does cut both ways. If you look at San Juan Generating Station, I mean, there are some serious reliability issues there. In fact, the city of Farmington has said that they're not going to purchase more of the plant because of reliability issues at the plant itself. And as far as wind and solar, the wind does blow and the sun does shine. There are ways that it can be done, and utilities all across the country are doing it. So there's a way to make that happen. And the fact is that PNM isn't doing enough with renewables for it to make as big of a difference as PNM might claim with reliability issues anyway.
And this might be a moment to talk about the transmission questions. And so in some parts of the country, we've broken up, in effect, the monopoly that utilities have over production and distribution. And so that we might, for example, have energy facilities that are operating closer to Santa Fe, closer to Albuquerque, some of the big centers, but the distribution lines for that energy may tie into, do indeed tie into, a much larger grid, a grid that, of course, crosses state lines as well. And so some of the questions about, you know, instead of viewing it my house, a passive solar house that can get pretty darn cold when there hasn't been any sun for a couple of days, presumably will still be linked in some fashion by transmission lines, which may be providing energy from other areas at times when renewable sources aren't adequate in a particular area.
This leads into a lot of questions about distribution. For example, I mean, the most, when you talk about on the one end, centralized power, where you've got a power plant in one place and then a huge radius that it serves. And on the other hand, the most distributed, which would be a rooftop solar panel or set of solar panels on somebody's house, there's also kind of an in-between.
Yes, and that's what we call that community solar. Some areas are calling those solar gardens as an expression. But the idea would be, and we have some instances of those functioning within Santa Fe at a very small level, that there would be solar facilities that are closer to areas where the power is actually used, but they would be owned in perhaps by a group of citizens, as is happening in Taos, where the citizens have shares in the facility. They get some of the benefits of tax credits and so on, but they don't actually have the facility located on their roof. And unfortunately, the going between rooftop solar and community solar isn't a big physical leap, but it's a big legal leap in terms of the legality, because, you know, we're essentially under a monopoly model of energy supply at this point within our state, with the exception of rooftop solar. And so PNM and other utilities can say, we're not going to allow construction of so-called distributed community solar without a change in state law.
So right now, it's not even legal to do community solar. It's legal to do rooftop solar. Lots of people are doing it.
Two lawyers are talking about this. We're going to stumble a little bit over the question of whether it's legal. But in general, we don't have a provision in state law that permits community solar. There was an attempt this year to get such legislation through. It died a very sad death in the first legislative committee to which it was assigned and didn't move any further. And so there's either going to be a really good case presented before the Public Regulatory Commission someday with someone attempting to prove that there is the ability to do community solar, or there's going to be a change in state law that's going to make it explicit. But I think the point would be that from the current utility model that's utilized within New Mexico, the notion is that PNM and other investor-owned utilities have a monopoly over the creation of power and the distribution of power. And if you start affecting that model in some way, then PNM is going to respond negatively, as are the other entities that together killed that legislation. Should my lawyer here comment any further?
Well, I you know, local generation is exactly the type of model that we should be striving for, you know, putting power where the people are, and the less transmission power gets lost as it's transmitted. So the more that you can put energy in the places where the power is most needed is the best case scenario.
Now, PNM seems to be kind of unhappy about the fact that there is so much rooftop solar already. What has been their response to people's installing their own rooftop solar?
Yeah, that's a really great question. The PNM, around the same time that it was revealed that their plan to keep operating and keep burning coal at San Juan Generating Station, the cost had jumped by over $1 billion, they also put forward a rate case, which will have a huge impact on the average residential customer of PNM. And within that rate case, they have proposed charging new residential rooftop solar owners a fixed fee, well, a monthly fee, depending on the size of their rooftop.
What kind of a fee are we talking about?
It's a monthly fee. I believe it's $6 per kilowatt, so roughly $6 per panel. But it for the average residential customer, it will likely mean a $30 charge every month.
Which is a lot of money considering the capital expenditure that people have put into their homes already.
Absolutely. I mean, it eats up a lot of the benefits of installing your own rooftop solar, and it's their way to discourage people from installing their own rooftop solar. PNM is ultimately a business. I mean, they have shareholders. They want profits. They want to pad their profits as much as possible, so they don't want you generating your own power. Instead, they'd rather generate power and then sell it to you for the profit that they dictate.
The problem with that, with what you're saying, is that on some level, they are digging their own grave, because the coal model is on the way out, whether it's on the way out in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, or 25, it's gone. And so when you think about what a company's long-term interest is, if they're power generators, they have to get into renewables.
Now, of course, we should mention that they are looking at natural gas.
That's not renewable.
It's definitely not renewable, but I would just say, as the coal model is on its way out, the gas model is on its way in from their perspective. So it's not renewable. Natural gas has all sorts of climate implications that are very serious. It's got environmental and health implications for people who live in the area. But if someone for PNM were here, I think they'd say we're putting in natural gas, and we're doing it to some degree on a more distributed basis. So gas. We all hear the ads. It's the clean fuel, is it not? That's what everyone's claiming on the ads. So natural gas is the wave of the future from many utilities' perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, for a few decades at most, and then it's gone, because when you extract a resource from the ground,
yes,
you use it up. It doesn't come back.
And it is indeed not clean on any number of levels. We're concerned with the water that's used in fracking. We're concerned with water pollution resulting from that. We're concerned with methane, a potent greenhouse gas. And so there are a lot of reasons that gas isn't a good substitute for coal, but I think it is the direction nationally that many of the big utilities are moving.
You can't argue with the fuel costs of solar and wind, though.
That's right.
I mean, nothing's cheaper than the fuel costs for solar and wind. The sun, you know, wind is free, the sun is free, solar power is free. And you look at PNM, and they're, you know, one of the biggest problems that they face at San Juan Generating Station right now is the fact that they don't know where they're going to be getting their coal after 2017. They don't have a coal agreement in place. So they don't know where they're going to be getting their coal, and they certainly don't know how much they're going to be paying for that coal. So to say that it's the most cost-effective plan, I don't really know how you can make that claim when you don't know where, who's going to own the plant, where you're going to be getting your coal, and how much you're going to be paying for it.
We're talking to Nellis Kennedy Howard and Denise Fort about the upcoming talk, How Do We Increase Renewable Energy Use in New Mexico? Now, New Mexico, in terms of our monopoly or near-monopoly utility, seems to be maybe not so progressive, but there are other much more progressive states where they're doing really interesting alternative ways of utilities, for example, providing solar, whether it be distributed solar, rooftop solar. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So I think that there's a lot of different utilities that you could look at. You could look at the city of Austin. The city council there approved a measure that would retire an aging coal plant, and that they're now on a path to get 55% of their electricity from renewables by 2025. That blows PNM out of the water. And then you look at North Omaha, a local utility is phasing out its local coal-fired plant and transitioning to wind power just because it's cost-effective. And PNM is just not, these aren't outrageous cities. And like I said, Xcel Energy earlier, they've made a statement saying that wind and solar is cost-competitive with natural gas.
And when you see the curve of how much solar energy costs over the last 20 mm-hmm. years, it's like the steepest downhill slope you can imagine.
Yeah.
And it hasn't stopped. It hasn't leveled off.
It's dropping and dropping, and the costs of coal continue to skyrocket. And there's just so much uncertainty with the prices around natural gas. I mean, that's, to switch from a dependence on one fossil fuel to another seems like just going from one nicotine addiction to the next.
It's going from smoke to patches.
Yeah, cigars, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Oh, God. E-cigarettes. Okay, but there's also some interesting ways that people are, that utilities are providing and servicing rooftop solar.
Yeah, you know, there, there's been some proposals in Arizona, and I can't speak to where those are at, but, you know, there's creative solutions that are coming together. So Tucson Electric Power, Arizona Public Service, they had put forward some proposals earlier this year, I think maybe even last year, saying, okay, you know what, we don't want to stifle the growth of rooftop solar. In fact, we want to further it, and because of that, we would love to put forward a plan that would mean that it would be utility-owned residential solar. So it would still be on residential homes, but it would be owned by the utility and financed through the utility. And we submitted many comments on that saying, you know what, this could be a very great option for multifamily housing, those on fixed incomes, those in low-income communities. But PNM is just decided to instead just institute a monthly charge, you know, if their rate case goes through as they currently plan.
I can't help but think of an example that came up recently when we were talking about Stephen Kotler's new book, which is called Bold, and he talked about the tremendous changes that are happening in technology right now, exponential technologies, technologies whose power increases, doubles and quadruples and so on in a very short period of time. And the company Kodak that invented the digital camera decided that if they were to develop it and promote it, they would be competing against their own chemical and paper product line. And then other people took the technology and ran with it, and they went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, I mean, it's such a clear case of this is the technology of the future. It may not look good in 1980, but you know that that's the way it's going to go. And it's the same with renewables. I mean, it seems like it's not rocket science to figure out that that's the way everyone's going to have to go.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. And it's what consumer preferences would be as well. That's how we want to get our energy. And you know, we're in a state where we're familiar with air pollution. We're familiar with the health risks of burning coal. So, you know, this is what we want. And one would think that a corporation devoted to its own long-term interests would give us what we want.
And you look at San Juan Generating Station, and it's a 40-year-old coal plant. It's 40 years old. I mean, would you buy a 40-year-old car and expect it to run for decades into the future without having some pretty serious investments? I don't even want to say investments, band-aids put on it in order to keep it continue burning coal. It just doesn't make any sense. Even the city of Farmington has said that they're not going to increase their ownership in it.
It's interesting because, I mean, power plants, whatever kind they are, do seem to have a life cycle in a way that's really similar to the life cycle of cars. Like, you can keep, I mean, we see vintage cars on the road, but there's very few of them, and it's pretty hard to keep a car running for more than 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And it's the same, it's funny, I mean, for whatever, I don't know what the mechanical or physical reasons are, but it's kind of the same thing with power plants.
Well, when they built it 40 years ago, did they intend for it to run past 40 years? Did they intend for it to run past 20 years?
And what are the newer technologies?
Absolutely.
So, okay, so the question of that is at hand, how do we increase renewable energy use in New Mexico? If you could wave your magic regulatory wands today and have an environment that really promoted renewable energy, what would that look like?
That's a great question. And, you know, I think that that decision really rests in the hands of the Public Regulation Commission right now, who are looking at PNM's plan and deciding whether or not it's a good one to go forward. And they've received thousands upon thousands of comments saying PNM's plan is just far too risky. So for us, I think that, you know, what we'd love to see is for the PRC to reject PNM's plan, saying, you know what, there are too many red flags here, too many reliability issues, too many questions about ownership and coal supply, and you know, for you to try to shove this through at the last minute before installing pollution controls is just unacceptable. And because of that, we really want you to dive into, exploring cleaner, safer choices of energy. San Juan Generating Station is a filthy coal plant. I mean, it contributes to 28 deaths every year, 42 heart attacks, 510 asthma attacks. It's not worth it. And I'm hoping that the commissioners will actually reject PNM's plan for that reason. And
what are the deaths from?
Burning coal is just a filthy process. It leads to so many different pollutants that are emitted into the air, into the water. Like I said, a lot of those are asthma attacks, heart attacks. And it's all, you know, it's hard to say because The community that suffers the most are the ones who live in the shadow of the plant. And in Farmington, it's the people in Farmington, and it's the Navajo community, really, that lives in the shadow of the plant. You know, being Navajo myself, is just really disappointing, because you look at the Navajo reservation, and a huge amount of the reservation doesn't have electricity. Meanwhile, they sit in the shadows of these plants, and the water is toxic, and, you know, livestock are passing, and all of these different implications that are happening just because of the coal plant. But PNM doesn't want you to see that. They want you to look the other way and say, you know what, it is worth the millions and millions of dollars that we want to put at the plant.
I agree with everything Nellis has said, but I want to also talk some, you asked the question, if you could wave the wand. So in my wand waving, I'd say that we have to have competition in the production of energy, and that means we've got to change the model, as other states have done, so that distribution is owned and managed in some central fashion, but we can choose, as we now with our, you talk about the old days when it was Ma Bell and you had to have your phone line and there was one provider for phones, and we now have a model in which we can choose what company we use, for distribution, and I think we have to get to the point where there's competition in the production of energy, and we can choose among different sources. We can choose sources that are cleaner and closer to home. We have it now with respect to rooftop, but we don't have it if we want to use sources other than rooftop. And that's going to change. That's going to bring about overnight changes, I think, in the sort of choices that these big utilities make, because it'll be competition. It'll help us with how high our rates are in the state, and it'll help us with access to the type of production that we would rather have as citizens.
How do you actually promote competition?
Well, you do it through, in essence, separating production, and so that you remove the utility company's monopoly over the sources of production of energy, and that's a statutory change. And having been up against PNM in the legislature many times over the years, I would readily admit it's not a statutory change. It'll happen quickly. And, our question, I think, as citizens is some combination of how do we get together to bring about legislation allowing this, and on the other hand, how do PNM shareholders say, there's got to be a change in the model. There's got to be a change that allows PNM to continue, but in a way that doesn't rely on monopoly control of production.
We're talking to Denise Fort of University of New Mexico Law School and Nellis Kennedy Howard of the Sierra Club. Now, all of what we're talking about is relevant to a couple of things. One is this big PNM case that we've been following and that we've been talking about in this show, and also the New Mexico legislature, where every year there are what we use the shorthand of good and bad bills that come up, and I use good to mean good for the health, safety, and stability and economic future of the state, and bad to be toxic. And I mean, just to back up with that for a moment, there is this, when I was young, I heard this phrase, what's good for General Motors is good for America. Do you remember that, Denise?
Yes, I do.
And there's this idea of, the corporate interest being aligned with the public interest, which it seems that we're so far away from right now. And it would be so interesting to find a way that the corporate and the public interest could actually come back together so that we wouldn't be fighting stuff like this all the time. And those questions always arise at the New Mexico legislature. What happened this past session?
Well, as I mentioned, one thing that happened to a good bill on pretty much day one of the session, but very early on, is that legislation that would have permitted community solar coming out of Taos was just decapitated in its first hearing. On the other hand, a legislation that was introduced in the House that would have stopped New Mexico in our move towards the use of renewable energy. We have a requirement now, a so-called renewable portfolio standard, that has a requirement that the state utilities provide a certain percentage of their electricity from renewable sources, and legislation was introduced that would have essentially frozen the requirements where they are now. And disappointingly, that legislation sailed through the House. It was ultimately killed in the Senate. It's disappointing. I happened to attend one of the hearings on it, and everyone disavowed ownership of whose idea was this, because, you know, actually our utilities are moving. You know, we've certainly had some arguments over how we calculate what the costs of renewables are and so on, but we're moving in, you know, overall towards compliance with a relatively modest renewable portfolio standard requirement. Other states have more stringent and have put more stringent ones in place. So where was this coming from? Whose idea was this legislation? Who thought it was a good idea? And why would a majority in the House of Representatives vote to stop us in our path and our movement towards a renewable portfolio standard? As you know, fortunately, as with many other pieces of environmentally detrimental legislation, the Senate was able to stop the legislation in its tracks, and we're going forward. But that makes me think that we all have a job to do, and we've got to make sure that we're talking about these things statewide, that renewable energy doesn't cost more, that it does provide more jobs, that it is a better long-term investment in the future. We failed insofar as we, you know, were unable to stop that bill from moving through the House.
But it didn't pass.
It didn't pass, but it was by a whisker, as many other pieces of legislation died in the Senate.
We've been talking about PNM, our local energy provider, but we haven't really talked that much about the PRC, the Public Regulation Commission. What is its role in general, and what is its role specifically right now with respect to PNM and the energy issues at hand?
Well, they have a tough job ahead of them, that's for sure. Or maybe an easy job, I don't know, depending on which way they go. But, the role of the commission is to look after, to look over the utility and determine whether or not what the utility makes sense for New Mexico, what the utility is doing makes sense for New Mexico. So that's why PNM's plan is before them right now. PNM's plan, that is, to retire two of the units at San Juan Generating Station and then to continue operations at two of the units into the foreseeable future. The installation of some natural gas, a little bit of solar, and rate basing some nuclear power. So that's all on their plate right now, and they're looking at that. And as I said, the plan is an expensive one. It's costly. The costs have gone up by over $1 billion. And originally...
$1 billion? I mean,
with
sorry.
A B.
It's just
that's
a lot
with
of
a
money.
B. $1 billion. That's a lot of money. And like I said, a lot of that was actually due to calculation errors that PNM made that wouldn't otherwise have surfaced if it were not for citizens groups there at the commission asking some, you know, pretty tough questions. So who else who knows what else PNM has in there that just hasn't been exposed as of yet. So this plan is before the commission right now, and it's up to them to decide whether or not to approve it or to reject it, and to tell PNM to look at cleaner, safer sources of energy that would fit New Mexico's needs better. And originally, PNM's plan had support from a number of organizations, a number of entities, actually, and because all of these risks have surfaced, and just over the last year, things like not knowing who's going to own it, where the coal is going to come from, the cost estimate skyrising, over half of the people that once supported have now withdrawn their support, and in fact, groups that had not taken a position on the plan have now taken a position in opposition to the plan, saying it's just too costly. Most recently, is the Albuquerque City Council. The Albuquerque City Council just voted saying that they want to withdraw their support from the plan, which raises a lot of interesting questions insofar as the city of Albuquerque is one of the member organizations or entities that is part of a group called New Mexico Industrial Energy Consumers. New Mexico, for short, it's NEMIAC. NEMIAC is one of the few organizations that supports PNM's plan right now. So one of their primary members saying, we want to withdraw our support, sends a really big red flag and raises lots of questions about, whoa, what does PNM's plan entail that's aggravating people, making people really upset, and why is it so expensive? So the commission has that to look forward to of what are they going to do.
What was Albuquerque City Council's rationale for that decision?
You know, there are a lot of really great sound bites from that hearing of where they voted on that, and a lot of them dealt with reliability issues at the plant, the risks posed to ratepayers, and the costs. And ultimately that it sends us down a future of burning more and more coal when the writing really is on the wall for coal. And, you know, rate-basing nuclear power. I mean, nuclear power, gosh, that's a rough one to digest.
Looking at the situation in New Mexico and everything that you've been talking about, it seems that there is a lot of responsibility right now in the hands of the Public Regulation Commission, which is indeed an elected body elected by the citizens of New Mexico. But still, I mean, they're making decisions that affect all of us for, you know, one or more generations into the future, really more.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in the big context in climate change, what climate change is doing to New Mexico, what coal burning and natural gas development are doing to New Mexico, we've got to open the processes up so the work before the PRC, which is pretty technical at the end of the day, there's a place for citizens to participate that is also open to our expressions of how we want to change our energy supply. So our members of Congress play a big role in this. They are supporting the president as he is making it more difficult for new coal-fired power plants to operate, as we're putting increasing pollution controls on new coal-fired power plants. We've got to stay in there in the Congress. We've got to get in there in the state legislature in a bigger way than we've been present. We have a role at our city level. You know, the city of Santa Fe is looking at alternatives that it can undertake to increase its use of renewables, to increase efficiency, and so on. There are many different levels at which citizens should be involved. The PRC is an important, a very important one. Unfortunately, it has staff and it's got rules that are followed, rules that are comparable to those that are used in by courts. But we as citizens need to get involved in the many other places where we can have a role and have a voice in the big picture that we want to get off these fossil fuel sources, decarbonize our economy, and move towards a much cleaner energy future.
I think one of the things that really needs to be talked about in this discussion, although it's not front and center right now, is the fact that we do live in an awfully big, awfully empty, awfully sunny state, and we could theoretically not only make all of our own energy here, but export energy,
yes.
Which, you know, given that this is such a poor state, might not be the worst thing for our economy.
Yes, and wind power is certainly something that we've got to include in that. We can look at the success of Texas in doing that. Some of those questions tie into our state having a different understanding, you know, more support for the generation of wind. We actually need Congress to make a more permanent commitment to wind generation so that we're not having these last-minute cliffhangers about whether or not what sort of tax treatment will be given to wind. And we are likely to see increased transmission to other states on a grid that permits states that want to use clean energy sources to have access to New Mexico's wind.
But wouldn't that be great to create more jobs in New Mexico from wind and solar power, which we have an abundance of potential in both of those areas? In wind, we can more than double the amount of energy that New Mexico needs. In solar, I think we have the solar power potential to power New Mexico 1,000 times over in any given year. We have enormous potential, and the fact that we're just avoiding that and ignoring that and saying, you know what, San Juan Generating Station, let's just run you into the ground and see how far you can go without building a plan that creates a swift transition from coal to clean energy is just mind-boggling and irresponsible.
It's sort of like saying, you know, in the garden we've got fresh vegetables and we've got some chickens laying delicious chicken eggs and we've got fruit off the trees, but in my basement I have 100 pounds of Twinkies, and that's what I'm going to serve for dinner.
Yeah. That's exactly right. It should be an easy, you know, decision by the commission. You would think that they would say, you know, PNM, this isn't in the best interest of New Mexico to go forward with this plan to throw millions of ratepayer dollars at this costly coal plant. And I'm hoping that, you know, the commissioners will see that and tell PNM to look elsewhere, because like I said, the potential is everywhere for wind and solar.
So what we're looking at right now, give us some dates. Where are we? What is the role of citizen involvement? Can we still, can citizens still comment on this?
Great question. Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the first exercise would be to find out who your commissioner is on the Public Regulation Commission. So there are Commissioners Lyons, Espinoza, Lovejoy, Commissioner Montoya, and Commissioner Jones. And it's up to them to make the decision about where will New Mexico be getting their power into the future and whether or not PNM's plan is responsible. So find out who your commissioner is. Let them know your thoughts on PNM's plan to continue burning coal. You can send them an email. You can make a call to their office directly. But in any way, make your voice heard in order for them to know, hey, they have your support to reject PNM's plan and to direct PNM to look elsewhere.
Now, we heard about what the Albuquerque City Council has said. We've heard about what various groups, obviously the Sierra Club, you're part of the Beyond Coal campaign, so we know how you feel about that. But what is the support and opposition to the PNM plan at this point look like?
Oh, gosh. They are losing support day by day. I'm sure they're sweating bullets. Like I said, just on Monday evening, the Albuquerque City Council voted to withdraw their support. The more time passes, the more support they're losing. I'm not hearing of any new groups saying, oh, let's support PNM's plan, this costly plan. So PNM would love to have the commission make a decision sometime soon about this plan. They have been very brazen to say that they're confident that the PRC is going to vote in their favor and approve their plan, which I think is, I think that that's a little irresponsible for them to say that they're confident in what the commissioners are going to do. I think that the commissioners are going to be taking a cold, hard look at this and seeing that the support is being lost everywhere and dollar signs keep popping up. And like I said, the city of Farmington has decided to get out, and they're going to look at this and they're going to say, you know what? You don't know who's going to own the coal plant in 2022. You don't know where you're going to get your coal. You don't know how much you're going to pay for it. Maybe you should look at those dates as potential dates to transition from coal to clean energy, rather than throwing us down a path of more and more coal burning into the future.
Now, we know that environmental groups are opposed to this plan, and a lot of groups like Albuquerque and so on, and citizens have been almost unanimously opposed to it. Who's in favor?
That's a PNM, is a PNM shareholder, I imagine.
Might mention who the members are of the
The supporters at this point of PNM's plan, the few remaining that are supporting PNM's plan is NEMIAC, the New Mexico Industrial Energy Consumers, of which I said Albuquerque is a member organization. University of New Mexico, Intel, Honeywell. There are some others in there, but the city of Albuquerque is asked to withdraw their support. So NEMIAC, the AG's office, and PRC staff are the only remaining supporters of the plant. And I believe that the Attorney General actually just made some interesting remarks about the plan itself. And I'm sure that recent facts coming up about all the questions raised and red flags and unanswered questions from PNM is making the Attorney General really look long and hard at this. And I don't know, like I said, his office continues to support it at this time, but I'm sure that he's getting some pressure.
Attorney General Hector Balderas is in favor of this.
It's shocking to me as well. Yes, that's right. I'm not quite sure what he sees in this plan that so many others have said there are too many holes and gaps in it. But I'm sure he's receiving a lot of pressure right now and is asking questions about why he's supporting it.
So we are talking to Nellis Kennedy Howard of the Sierra Club and Denise Fort of University of New Mexico Law School. And the two of them will be speaking on Tuesday, the 14th of April, at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation, which is at 501 Helena Street here in Santa Fe. And the talk is, how do we increase renewable energy use in New Mexico? And also on this panel discussion are Doug Howe, who's a former commissioner of the PRC, and Noah Long with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about, if you want to just give us a little bit of a preview about this actual event.
I think what we're going to talk about will be the structural questions we've touched on today. We have this matter before the PRC, which I don't know if it'll be resolved soon, but we'll be having some decisions soon from the PRC about where PNM proceeds with respect to the replacement power for these two units. It's closing down. But we have a, you know, the big question statewide about how do we get to a carbon-free grid. That has to be our goal in terms of everything we know about climate change. We have to stop using fossil fuels to get our electricity. And so what are the big structural factors? How do we change those? What are the possibilities for utilities in seeing a positive future for themselves instead of trying to block the change that's inevitable? So, and where do the rural electric co-ops fit into this? What's their role in making the transition? So I think we're going to talk about these, all of these questions, including the matter which is before the PRC at this time.
Now, has anybody actually written a plan that proposes a viable, detailed alternative, you know, down to the megawatt for the power that would be lost by shutting down those two parts of the
coal plant? That's a great question. Yeah, you know, there were parties during the hearing who actually used PNM's modeling software, which is quite expensive and fairly proprietary. they actually purchased the software for a period of time in order to run different scenarios that would include a plan for complete retirement of the plant that would also include replacement power. And those scenarios showed that they were cost competitive, if not more cost-effective than what PNM has already put forward. Of course, PNM is waving red flags, saying this, that, and the other about, or they've changed the models, or I don't know. But it's out there that the models exist and that they do show that they're cost-competitive.
Nellis Kennedy Howard is Senior Campaign Representative for the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. Denise Fort is Research Professor at the University of New Mexico Law School. And once again, Tuesday, April 14th, at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation on Helena Street. The event is free and open to the public. Panel discussion and lots of room for a question and answer, I would think.
Absolutely. Please come.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.